Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Suzanne called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and has a problem with her houseplants. Hear all about it in our first segment.
Christmas cactuses are a popular holiday plant. Hear about the differences between Thanksgiving cactus versus Christmas cactus and how to grow them in our second segment.
Do you love amaryllis as much as I do? This beautiful flowering bulb has a story almost as beautiful as the flower itself. Learn all about amaryllis during our third segment.
We received a text message asking how to care for their potted spiral Alberta spruce. Listen in during our fourth segment.
During our final segment, we're going to give you a basic poinsettia care tip sheet.
So stay tuned, and we'll be right back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice, turning brown thumbs green, for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertiloam's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertiloam's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertiloam's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, Suzanne called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and was having problems with the leaf surface of her Christmas cactus. You're probably having this problem too, so listen up. Here's her call.
Hi, I just bought a new Christmas cactus, and I noticed that when I go to the store, the plants, they're never dusty. But when I have them here in my apartment, they get dusty. And even when I try to wipe off the leaves, I never get them all, and it never looks the same. Do you have any tips on how I can prevent the leaves on my plants from getting dusty? This is Suzanne Fisher. Thank you.
Suzanne, we do.
Yes, we do.
First of all, when your plant leaves are dusty, You want to just gently wipe the leaves with a damp, soft cloth. But be gently because you don't want to damage the leaf surface because the leaf surface is where photosynthesis takes place. So you want to make sure that they don't get damaged because it will cut that off. And you want to use leaf shine. Bonide has a great leaf shine, and it's just a bottle that you'll spritz on the plant and on the leaf surfaces. Like you're basically kind of like painting your car, you know, you're painting your plant with the leaf shine. But there's one thing that I want you to do too, and it's really see and change the filter on your HVAC system. So your heater usually has a filter. Now, I know you live in an apartment, so you may not have control over that. But for the amount of dust that you're talking about, more than likely, it's just recirculating and blowing around the dust in rather than because you have a heat exchanger. It's going to be putting dust into your apartment. The other thing is if you have a vacuum that has a filter, check to see that filter and change that filter because that will also help. And ultimately, if all of those things are unavailable to you, get yourself an air purifier. They are cheap on Amazon and that they have different sizes based on the room square footage. And remember, square footage is the square foot of your floor space. Cubic foot is the cubic foot of the actual room. So you make sure you don't underestimate. Aaron is going to say something.
Yes. Wow. Also make sure you change your filter when it's recommended. When you get that air filter.
The air filter?
Yes.
Do you use them?
Yes.
Okay.
They're very effective in my basement in particular.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have an older home, but there's a lot of dust that has yet to exit the house. So
yeah, but that's how you're getting rid of it.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anybody who has asthma or some respiratory issues are using them so that they have become very, very, very popular. I think most college student has one in their dorm room.
Absolutely. You know? That and the ionizer. I don't know what that's for, though.
Ionizer?
Yeah. Like
it zaps stuff out of the air, but I don't really
know either. Gotcha.
I don't know. Well, I'm thinking UV sterilizer.
Yeah.
I'm a pond guy.
We're
so.
Outside in the pond, yeah.
But again, it's trying to get rid of that dust because it's not something that the plants are drawn to. Some even say that using leaf shine actually draws the dust to them. I don't know. If dust is there, it's going to land on the leaf surface. One thing I wanted to bring up. By the way, Julio Zamora.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what Bonide Leaf Shine really is? The actual ingredients are in two products by Bonide.
I know.
Tell
what
me.
That is.
Yeah, tell me.
You've always talked about this.
Tell me.
Chapstick.
No.
it's a transparent.
Don't believe him at all. He is wrong.
It's a transparent.
I'm like a pitcher. I set you up to hit it out of the park.
All right.
You just missed.
I know. I just struck out.
It's Wiltstop. It's Wiltstop and the Leaf Shine are the same product.
Uh-huh.
So if you buy Wiltshine, like we've been recommending, you know, we'll be recommending all the way through Christmas, that it's the same active ingredient in Wiltstop as it is in the Leaf Shine. And so what I would do is like don't pay the big money for the Leaf Shine in a small bottle because this bottle I think is maybe 8 ounces. You can get 32 ounces of Wiltstop. And that you'll use it on other things. So that if you have Wiltstop or you have it for your Christmas greens, that is a type of leaf shine that you use for your houseplants. So there you go.
There you go.
Inside baseball. Julio.
I used to play baseball.
You used to play baseball? Yeah. That's another show.
Yeah, I know. Not anymore.
I know where you were going. But you talked to Suzanne, right?
I did.
Tell me.
Oh, Suzanne.
Lovely lady.
Very lovely.
Sure.
Yep, from Roselle Park up there.
Ladies.
Oh, I know. I do.
Yeah.
I told her to call back. And now she's a very nice young lady. And, you know, she loves the garden.
Of course. And, good.
Yeah, she's a gardener. Her folks had a farm, I believe. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So, did you talk to her? She said that she didn't. You told me she didn't have any control over a filter for the heating. You know, so it's one.
It's one big
big thing
system. Yeah.
But again, you said talk to the landlord, super, whoever, to see if that maybe they need to update and change maybe their filters on their system. Because again, she's got a thermostat, so she must control it somehow.
She hardly uses it. She says she keeps it because it gets really warm, so she only has it on for maybe 3 days or something like that.
So maybe vacuum.
Vacuum.
Yeah, maybe vacuum. Mm-hmm. So, all right. If you have the same problem again, it I know that I have a fiddle leaf fig, great big, wide, leaves, huge leaf surface, and they're a little dusty.
Yeah.
They're a little dusty.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, I need to hose them off. is what I really need to do, and then apply the leaf shine. Uh-huh.
Nothing like
I'll get to it.
Nothing like
eventually.
Ugly dusty plant.
Huh? Do you have dusty plants?
I do.
You do.
I do. I don't get
well. You need to use leaf shine or wilt stop. Shine those things up.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, all right. If you have questions about anything going on with your houseplants, we can help you out. We're more than happy to. And if we use your call on the air, we will send you a free Bloomers T-shirt.
Yes, sir.
So we'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers T-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Are you looking forward to a spring of vibrancy while using the best organically approved growing media for your annuals and vegetables? Coast of Maine's Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter has been created to set a diverse culture, ideal for germinating seeds and root cuttings. Created using the best ancient composting techniques and new age mixing devices, Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter gently combines kelp meal, worm castings, mycorrhizae, perlite, and sustainably harvested peat moss, establishing the most desirable setting to enhance new plant growth. Coast of Maine's Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter is available at these local retailers or visit www.coastofmaine.com to locate one near you. Sickles Market, Little River, New Jersey. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Fleetwood, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. It's time to deck the halls. Roping, garland, fresh-cut Christmas trees, all available at Bloomers Home and Garden Center. The greenhouse is a blaze of red poinsettias, other colors from the new whites and the new pinks that we have. Make sure you get your Christmas cactus. That's right, Christmas cactus, get them now. Soon they're going to be all gone. Make sure you come in. All ornaments are buy three, get the fourth free. It's a great time for even the specialty ornaments like Christopher Radko, Old World, and more. We'll see you in the garden at Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Make sure you go to bloomers.com to get our address and our store hours. See you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. One of my favorite holiday plants, Atlanta, is the Christmas cactus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's great. It's
Why do you like the Christmas cactus?
It's totally different than anything I've seen.
As far as a holiday plant goes?
Yeah, really. You don't really think about, holiday when you look at it, but it is pretty cool looking.
It is. It is. And it's super easy to take care of. But there are two different types.
Yeah.
There's Thanksgiving cactus, and that they naturally will flower around Thanksgiving time, which I find very interesting. And it's that their leaves are a little different, where a Christmas cactus, that it's more serrated, where the Thanksgiving cactus is a little bit smoother, where it doesn't look like it has like sharp points on the sides of the leaves. So they are different. And also that where the pollen on the Christmas cactus are pink to purplish as opposed to being yellow on the Thanksgiving cactus.
Pretty awesome.
So there is a difference. I've had people say, it's like, how come my Christmas cactus always blooms at Thanksgiving? And it's because it's a Thanksgiving cactus that they bought like for a Christmas cactus. And that's just the way that it works. Anyway, you know, they're epiphytic.
Yep.
Which, do you know, that's a big fancy word meaning that like it grows like anywhere. It's advantageous. Like, well, in the jungles, it'll grow like in the trees and stuff. Like Spanish moss grows off of trees down south and things like that. That's why it's so easy to grow.
That's why. Right,
yeah. Best thing about them, the less you take care of them, the better they'll do. They do best in bright natural light. That's where they're going to grow best, but they are weird because they require you to shade them during a certain time to get them into bloom so that they bloom at Christmas time. Water, hey, you know, because they're the way that they're grown, you kind of treat them like a succulent where you don't want to, you know, give them too much water. You let them dry out and then give them a drink so that everything gets watered real well and then just let it dry out again. My kind of plant. Yeah. Our home temperatures are perfect. Perfect. You know, it really, you're 65 to 75, cooler at night. That's how my thermostat's set.
Yeah. Low.
But it's all about setting the buds, though. Just like a poinsettia, it's photoperiodic. So what that means, that's a $10 word for meaning that its requirement for light timing in what is what sparks them to bloom. And on this show that if you've been listening for a while, you hear us talk about how it's really the sunlight and the amount of light that we get that moves everything from hummingbirds to fly back across the Gulf of Mexico to, you know, plants to stop where they'll shut down and stop flowering. So one Amazing. Thing that you need to do, like, for instance, we'll call it a holiday cactus, that they require 12 to 14 hours of complete darkness every day, and then you bring them back out into the light. And then that reduction in light, you want to start about 8 weeks before you want. So if you want them to bloom in, you know, you want them to bloom, say, December 5th. So you basically start 2 months before that. So, you know, November, October. So October 5th, you're going to start like putting them in a closet or just finding a something to put over it that makes sure any little bit of light that comes in may mess with it. Yeah. So you want it so that it's in the dark for 12 hours. Gives you something extra to do, right? Yeah, everybody's looking for a hobby.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's really cool when you get it timed right. Uh-huh. Nothing's better.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron had his poinsettia. We're going to talk about this at the end of this show about Aaron planting his. Wait, is it still alive? By the
yeah.
way,
oh, yeah,
it's
he planted it outside.
It's turning red.
It's red. Yeah. All right, you didn't mess with it though, right?
No. Once I pulled it inside, I just left it by my living room bay window.
All right, okay. All right. We'll talk more about his poinsettia being photoperiodic.
Oh yeah,
at the end of the show. But again, getting your like people will come in. It never blooms. My cactus never blooms. My Christmas cactus never bloomed. And it's all because you need to get it in full sun and then pull that light away. And you could force it into bloom at any time. It's not like you have to force it into bloom during the holiday season. Like if you're hearing this now, you can start with it now. And then, for instance, you're going to have it in February. Well, it'll be in bloom if you give it that 12 to 14 hours of complete darkness per day. You're going to basically fool the plant and trick it into setting bud and flowering.
Isn't that great?
Very cool.
Very nice.
Very cool. To me, it would be a fun task. Yeah. Also, like some people don't know when to split it.
Right.
You can carefully split them almost at any time. Yeah. You know, I don't like sometimes people get it in a pot where it's just so overstuffed where they try to split it so many divisions that they end up killing them all.
Yeah,
just split it in half. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get greedy and just be happy with that. You know, so it's easy plant to take care of, and it's one of those things that honestly, it looks like succulents are so popular. It looks like a succulent.
It does.
Like, even if it wasn't in bloom. So you're still doing good. There's always, like, because again, like we talked about earlier, just a few minutes ago, that the serrated leaves, which almost make it look like a cactus family, where they're really pointy, those are the true Christmas cactus. The ones where the leaves are look like that those points are cut off or dulled, that's the Christmas cactus.
Awesome.
So beautiful. Give it a go.
Yeah,
give it
try
a go.
It out.
Yeah. Success with Christmas cactus is pretty easy. It's just awesome. Got to remember that it needs that 12 to 14 hours for 2 months. And it's, again, it's you can't mess it up. We're lights in the room, those kind of things. So if you can get it into a good, well-lit room and give it the darkness at night and then in towards the day, you know, and naturally right now, naturally, we're about 12 hours of darkness automatically.
Yeah,
so
you can't go wrong.
Right. But no. The light in the rooms will screw it up, and we're going to talk about that during our poinsettia segment. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back in the garden with amaryllis right after this.
Are you looking to reach an audience of over 12 million residents in the Philadelphia, Delaware Valley, and New York City tri-state? Then consider becoming a broadcast sponsorship partner for Bloomers in the Garden. Every week on Bloomers in the Garden Radio, your products become associated with the authority in everything lawn, landscape, and garden. For more information on the Bloomers in the Garden Partnership Program, feel free to call the hotline 609-685-1880 or check out the radio tab at bloomers.com.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
If you're like me, then you absolutely love birds. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center has you covered. They're dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds of all sorts. Want to bring more birds to your yard? Then you got to see this place. Bloomers has a huge flock of feeders, birdhouses, birdseed, and much, much more. Want to feed the birds and not the squirrels? They have this absolutely cool bronze bird feeder that will drive those sneaky squirrels nuts. They'll be moving to the next door neighbor in no time. OMG. Bloomers have these absolutely adorable birdhouses that will turn your yard into the perfect bird B&B. They carry all types of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. Bloomers stocks Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and much, much more that will keep those beautiful birds coming back for more. Bloomers Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County. For more information and directions, check them out on the web at bloomers.com. Bloomers Home and Garden Center, you got to see this place.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I love amaryllis. You know, I think even as a kid, I thought it was like the coolest thing that the flower was so big. And it's because it's on top and it's a crown on top of everything. And it has those like strap-like leaves where you almost ignore them. You don't even pay that much attention to them until the bloom falls off. And then once the bloom falls off, you say, it's got leaves. But did you know the story behind amaryllis in Greek mythology?
No, tell me about that.
I would be more than happy to. First of all, amaryllis means to sparkle. The name seems to have been derived from a poem by Virgil. So a shepherdess who fell madly in love with a gardener named Otello. The shepherdess, Amaryllis, walked a path to his door for 1 month and pierced her own heart every day with a golden arrow. The blood from amaryllis created the well-loved, beautiful red flowers that we know today. Dramatic.
very dramatic.
The symbolism of flower, it's been through the ages. Like in Victoria times, amaryllis was given by a man to a woman he admired, and the red flower was meant to symbolize radiant beauty, and it certainly is that.
It is.
You know, that's, and today, amaryllis represents beauty, love, determination, strength, and success. You know, if you're looking on YouTube, I'm holding up an amaryllis bulb right now. And the size of the bulb matters. So, Fulio, well, no matter what anybody says, size matters. That the bigger the bulb, the better the flowers. Mm-hmm. They can get as big as like a softball.
Wow.
And that, again, local garden center, like, all right, can I go off on a tangent? Uh-huh. Permission, Fulio. May I?
Go right ahead.
Anytime you see bulbs at like Home Depot or Lowe's or anything, they're always in the front door, right where all that heat is on. All the time. It's blowing. Like, you know, it's like, I always wonder if they want you to get sick as you walk out the door because you get a blast of hot air. But underneath that are all their bulbs, which makes them dry out. And then they don't perform as well. And then people say, oh, I don't have a green thumb. But it's true.
Yeah.
Go to your local garden center. Ask them for amaryllis. They absolutely have it. And that amaryllis is, you want to have a nice size bulb bigger than a baseball or about the same size or same size as a baseball or larger. You'll see some that are like tennis ball size. They aren't going to be growing to be that impressive of a flower. And your garden centers are going to have top, what we call in the industry, top size bulbs. Top size bulbs are just that. They are the top size. And again, you wonder, it's like, how come this amaryllis is like, we have a waxed amaryllis here in studio where the bulb is actually dipped in wax. And then that way it's contained all the power for the bulb is in there. You don't need to necessarily put it in soil. And if you think about the wax amaryllis, it looks like actually kind of like a candy apple upside down.
Yeah, it does.
Sam, you guys used to had one, right? Didn't I give you this last year?
I wasn't here last year.
You weren't here. It seems like you've been here forever. TJ's behind you. He remembers, right?
Oh, yeah, I'll ask him. Hang on.
It was on. I kept it on the windowsill. Didn't you have one of these? You did too.
Yes,
I know you did because I remember.
He said he
flower.
Also wasn't here last year.
Brett.
He wasn't here last year. I'm going to call Brett.
Kreinberger, right?
Who isn't here now?
Took it with him.
Yeah, you remember this was on the window? Anyway. So it was a waxed amaryllis, and they had it by the window between the studio and where all of the engineering equipment is, the stuff that we're not allowed to touch. And that it grew flower, beautiful. Not in soil, not in anything. Now, I'm not sure that would be the easiest way to give amaryllis a gift or buy it or just to use it. And it's really, Aaron and I were talking about it being a one and done, where once it's finished, you throw it out. But you don't have to. But here's what you do. You can get your amaryllis to rebloom every year. And this is what you need once it's done blooming, okay? You're going to cut the flower stalk down to about an inch above the bulb. You're going to treat it like a houseplant. It's going to have those strap leaves we mentioned, and you just keep watering it, and you give it sunlight during the summer and the spring. And around mid-August, you're going to stop watering it, and you're going to let the thing dry out. Think of it as your revenge to houseplants. You finally don't have to take care of them. And again, you let it dry up, and the leaves will start shriveling up. And then once they do, you're going to cut those leaves off, and you're going to put the bulb in a cool, dark place for about 8 weeks, okay? And then what happens about 6 to 8 weeks before you want to see the bulb start growing again, you're going to move it back into a area where it's going to be in a warm, bright spot, and then you're going to start watering it again. And that water will basically start it to grow. And then you'll see usually the bulb comes up the same time that the leaves. It almost looks like a deck of cards, like if you could think of a pointy deck of cards being growing out of this bulb. That's what it looks like. And then they begin to separate, and the stalk will appear. And that you want to just make sure that, because it may be bigger this time than it was last time because the bulb grew, because it went through a season. and you want to make sure that it doesn't fall over because it can get top heavy. And then just take care of it like you did before. Give it water, take care of it, let it grow, then go through the whole cycle all over again. Once it's done flowering, you're going to cut back the flower stalk. Then you're going to take care of the leaves until about August. Then you're going to let it just dry out completely so that everything, the bulb goes dormant. And the bulb has to go through that cycle in order to come back again. So just like how we talked about on the show about how like tulips and bulbs, for instance, that you plant outside, they need to go and have that vernalization where they have a cold period before they can bloom. And if you don't, sometimes you may end up with just leaves. So if you think you can keep watering those leaves and just keep the amaryllis as a houseplant, it'll automatically send up its own flower spike. Uh-uh. Won't happen. It's got to go through that dormancy period before it's going to flower again. So just keep that in mind. Or they are plants, not
puppies.
Throw it out and get a new one.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Wow. Hey, I want to have the fun of doing this stuff.
It is.
You know, it's a great experiment. Sometimes, you know, you just have a knack for it. And that, I mean, it is, you know, impress your friends,
oh, yeah,
fool your family, sure, you know, and that where you're just good at it and that where it's fun to do. And it isn't that hard.
Yeah.
It isn't that hard. But basically, Cooley and I give you permission to throw it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole process of rejuvenation is incredible, isn't it, Don?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
how it dies and comes back. And
it makes you appreciate the plants and what we have and things.
What they do. I mean, it's incredible.
I encourage you to try it.
Yeah.
You know, the reward when you get that flower stalk that's twice as big as it was last year, or it splits into two and you have two flower stalks.
Yeah, that's even better.
That's your reward.
And then
it's
you
awesome.
Add one every year and you got 20, 25, and you put them in an area. Boy, that looked beautiful. Don't you think?
Wow. No, I'm trying to think, 25 amaryllis? Where are you going to put 25 amaryllis?
You got room, huh? You got a big home.
But I don't necessarily have room for 25 amaryllis.
Well, how about 10?
How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
I'm start it.
All right.
I'm starting this year. I'm buying my first two this year.
All right. There you go. You'll have two, and then maybe it'll split.
Well, let's see.
I don't know. All right. You heard it here, folks.
Yep.
Call in in August and ask if Julio is letting his amaryllis go dormant.
<That's right.
laughs> We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Succulent Potting Mix with EcoPete is the perfect ready-to-use potting mix for all your succulents. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix is a blend of sphagnum peat moss, perlite, and EcoPete. EcoPete is a natural wood fiber from peat bogs. When added to Fertilome peat moss, it produces a superior professional substrate with an exceptional ratio of air porosity and water holding capacity. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix will ensure maximum drainage with ideal water retention. It's simply the best succulent mix on the market. Ask for Fertilome by name at your local garden center. Available at Daniels Garden Center, Sumneytown Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. Gasper's Home and Garden, 316 Tanyard Road, Richboro, PA. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. A listener is worried about this cold affecting their spiral Alberta spruce. Here's their text.
Hi, two Alberta spruce trees from you, spirals from your nursery. Now I'm wondering if I should plant them in the ground or in pots since the outside temperatures are dropping. Any suggestions? Thanks so much. That's it. But straight to the point.
Yeah.
Plant them in the ground.
Yeah.
And the reason why you want to plant them in the ground is that the air temperature isn't the issue. It's the soil moisture and the soil temps. That's what you're concerned about. You know, we can plant in the soil. Like, how many kinds? Can I still plant? Oh. People are asking this now. Yeah. Can I still plant? Mm-hmm. Can I still plant?
Sure.
And the issue is, yes, yeah, you can plant any time. Mm-hmm. We can plant pretty much in our listening area. We can pretty much plant year round, except for those few weeks when the ground is frozen solid. Mm-hmm. And it's all because not so much that it's a problem with planting. It's a problem with when you backfill, you want to backfill with soil that compresses around the root system. You don't want any air pockets around the root system. So planting in the ground, there's soil moisture available there. It's just better. If like in pots, it's so susceptible to drying out. The winter is like summer that it's dry in a different way. It's not the heat that's making it dry. It's just the way that the air is. The air is drier. But one good thing is that we do get a little more precipitation between fall and spring, but the winter dryness, putting them in the ground, it's going to be superior because it's going to maintain that moisture in the ground is not going to be drying out from the sun beating down on it. But either way, what do you want to use, Julio?
You want to use Wiltstop.
Wiltstop. Here's your line.
Yes, it is.
Think of it as
chapstick.
For your plants.
Yeah.
It's chapstick for your plants. And again, winter burn is a thing, mostly amongst broad-leafed evergreens. And it's where the amount of moisture that escapes from the leaf surface is greater than the root system can maintain the moisture. Okay? Yeah. So it can't convey it fast enough. And the surface of the leaf, they sometimes get yellow, and it sometimes, even like a boxwood, it gets like a white, it almost turns white. And that is leaf burn. It usually grows out of it and usually isn't that much of a problem, but it is unsightly and it can, you know, just basically isn't good for your plants. So trying to keep them in the ground. Now, if you did want to put them in pots, I know that where that these spirals were at Bloomers, and they were in half barrels out in front of our store, and they were up for sale, and they were just in a pot and placed in inside the planted in the half barrel without removing the pot.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Now, the one thing is that if you're going to do that and you're going to plant these and keep these in large enough pots to where they're going to have a lot of moisture around it, you can do that. But during times of dryness where we don't have any snow or any rain for a long period, you may want to go out there with a pitcher of lukewarm water and water those Alberta spruce because you'd want to avoid that winter burn because Alberta spruce can get it too. So just keep that in mind. With them planted in the ground, you don't have to really worry about that, not so much. But if they're in a container, they require a little bit more maintenance. Just something to think about. All right. We'll be back in the garden right after this. You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania. Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Pennsylvania. Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, it's the holiday season.
Oh, yeah.
Ho, ho, ho. Did Santa bring you a poinsettia? Did you get a poinsettia at Thanksgiving? We sell a lot of poinsettias at Thanksgiving.
We do.
Yeah. Poinsettias, we're going to have a whole show within the next week or so devoted to the historical and the whole everything about poinsettias. But this final segment, we just know that some people are like, they got this thing and it's like, what do I do with it?
Yeah, what's going on?
Cooley, you told me that your mom had the same poinsettia for years.
She did.
Yeah. Doing a great customer of ours. Yeah. See you once.
Yeah, that's it.
In 10 years.
Yeah, she'd put it outside, you know, and then it'd grow. She'd put it in the ground and it'd grow like almost 3 feet. You know, it's like a bush. And she'd bring it, you know, she'd dig it out, bring it back in, put it in a pot, and just kept
wow.
Going. Yeah. It's awesome.
Aaron, you tried it this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
So you guys know the story, the history about my poinsettia. I bought it last year.
Yep.
And it was tiny. It was small.
Tiny.
And then it grew larger. And then I took it outside. We had a warm spell in the end of February into March.
That's right.
Out in February.
I forgot about that. No!
Right. Took it outside. I put it in the ground. And we got a really intense freeze.
I forgot all about this.
Yeah. Got a really intense freeze. And then next thing I know, it went from this big bushy poinsettia down to a little stick. And I pulled it out the ground. I'm lucky it didn't die. I brought it in the house.
I can't believe it didn't.
No, it didn't. Right. And now it's coming back.
Wow.
It's coming back. I brought it back in the house and I listened to your 12-hour recommendation.
Yeah.
Especially during the summer.
Yeah.
Like during the summer, because it's so much more daylight, it seems like, than it was, you know, nightlight.
Didn't we visit one of the growers when they were starting poinsettias?
We did. We did. And they had.
Now it's June, I think.
They had a very interesting kind of mechanism over their greenhouse that covered whatever, I don't know what it was, some type of retractable ceiling that I think it blocked the light.
Maybe not. But
nah. It looked like some type of cloth.
It's shade cloth.
Okay.
But somehow they did it.
Yeah.
They can
control the light.
We little respect for poinsettias. It takes 6 months or longer to get a poinsettia crop to the point where it's a beautiful plant. And it's an amazing process that doesn't get enough respect.
For sure.
Like, it drives me crazy when I see, like, it being used as a come-on item where I know that Home Depot did it a few years in a row, and I went and I called all of my growers. And because they were selling poinsettias for 99 cents.
Wow.
And I was like, look, I'm part of this industry, and that if anybody is going to respect what a plant, the work that's involved with growing a poinsettia, this is just wrong. And I had one of the growers, you know, defend it where he said, look, we charge, and actually he knew who they were getting it from and that they charge the same thing. And Home Depot was willing to lose the money to draw the traffic in for Black Friday. And it just, to me, it just, again, it just cheapened what growing plants and how much it takes. And Julio and I talk about the science and the science behind it. And wait till you hear next week, we're going to do the poinsettia story and the history of poinsettia.
Incredible.
Of where it's evolved from. And I mean, it's an amazing story.
It is.
But again, it's something that takes a long time, where once you have it in the house, it's pretty easy to take care of. And that's where, you know, we want to start with that. First of all, the flowers are not the red that you see on a poinsettia. And if you're looking on our YouTube channel, Julio is holding up a poinsettia right now. That please subscribe and please give us a 5-star review. We appreciate it very much. That the red on the poinsettia are bracts. They're leaves. They're modified leaves, and the flowers are actually in the cell on the center, where the yellow anthers and that's the real flower in the center. When with watering, you want to keep them moist but not wet. Have them in an area where they're not like in a corner, shoved in a corner somewhere. They want air circulation, but they don't want to be getting any drafts. Like, you don't want them near the front door or the back door where it's being opened all the time and the wind blows in. You know, I have that image of Frosty the Snowman, you know, where the poinsettias hate that, and that they will not do well if they're in a draft. Enough light to comfortably read a newspaper by. So it's not anything like we were talking about, the amount of light to get them to initiate the red bracts. But once you have it, it doesn't really need a lot of light. Again, going back to drafts, don't put them near the heater duct. I have seen that where, you know, if you have hot forced air and then somebody puts them right by the actually heat register, yeah, and then it's like no, not a good idea. Yeah. You know, and then we'll go back. If you want them to rebloom, we're going to go through a great calendar that is from Leonard Perry, professor at the University of Vermont, and that he developed this easy-to-follow calendar. I'm sure you can find it online. If you want to call the hotline, we will give you and send you a copy of the calendar as well as a poinsettia care sheet. So just call the hotline at 609-685-1880, and that will get you this information to you. But again, if you don't want to have the interest and they lose their leaves, I mean, they'll stay all the way through Valentine's Day, even longer. I mean, Aaron, you took care of yours. So how long before you put it out into the freeze?
So, it took about 4 months to grow about 5 inches.
No. Other way around. Before. I mean, it was growing
big
as a houseplant for...
Yeah, for almost like 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they last a long time, so you can just treat them like a houseplant.
Absolutely.
You know, and let people say, is that a poinsettia?
It's great. Right?
Yes, it is. This is my official green thumb. So here's the calendar. We're going to go through it in steps. So Christmas, you have a beautiful poinsettia that's there. New Year's Day. And this goes by holiday. That's why I like it so well, because it instead of having to worry about dates, you know, you're going to know when it's New Year's and Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. So New Year's Day, if it starts to grow, your poinsettia starts to grow, you may give it a little bit of fertilizer, and that's usually a liquid water-soluble fertilizer at half strength, and that you want to continue to provide it light and just continue to water it. You know, and it's going to continue to bloom. Like Aaron said, I mean, I've had my poinsettias bloom. Gosh, it's into March and I grow sick of them more than, you know, by that time. And they're plants, not puppies. So I send mine to the
dumpster.
Yeah.
Oh, graveyard.
Yeah. So Valentine's Day comes around. So February 14th. Do not give a poinsettia as a Valentine's Day gift. Will not go over big. Okay. Check your plants for signs of any insects, because you might get some whitefly from some of your houseplants. And what are you going to use? Triple action. Triple Action is a combination permethrin, and you've heard it on the show. It is an excellent houseplant insecticide. It's a combination of neem and, again, permethrin. St. Patrick's Day, March. Prune off the faded and dried parts of the plant. Just going to clean it up. Remove any leaves that are maybe on the soil surface in the pot. If you think you see roots and roots are visible, you're going to put a little more potting soil. If it gets long and leggy, like for instance, if it like has dropped a bunch of leaves and it's like looks like stems, this is when you're going to want to cut it back to about 5 inches tall, because you'll a more of a mounded plant, and you're going to keep it in the sun in the sunny spot. Memorial Day, end of May, trim off 2 or 3 of the branches to promote side branching. Again, this is going to make it a fuller plant. At this point, you may want to consider transplanting into a larger pot. Father's Day. So now we're in June. Move the plant outside.
There you go, Aaron.
Not February. Not February. Okay. So you move the plant outside and keep it outside for the summer. Place an indirect light, and you could plant it right in the soil, or you keep it as a patio plant. But if you plant it right in the soil, it will do great.
Off. Yeah.
It'll do great. Father's Day, so you move the plant outside. We did that already. I'm sorry. 4th of July, trim the plant again. Move it into full sun. Continue to water and feed it, but increase the amount. It'll increase the amount of that it grows. You're trying to push some growth on it. Labor Day. So now we're almost in September. Move indoors to a spot that gets at least 6 hours of direct light daily, preferably more. And as new growth begins, reduce the fertilizer. Everybody thinks that plants want fertilizer all the time. Not true. This is a time where, again, Labor Day, you're going to reduce the fertilizer to a quarter of the strength recommended. The fall equinox. What the heck is that? That means it's the fall, September 21st, it's when the light begins to change, and this is when you want to give the plant 16 hours of uninterrupted darkness. You put the plant in a closet, basement, under a box. What does that sound like? I will not eat green eggs and ham, Sam. I am, right? Yeah. I will not eat it under a box. I will not eat it, but you got to put your poinsettia there. So you got to put your plant in a closet. You got to get it in the dark for that 16-hour time frame in order to initiate bloom cycles. We talked about just before about your Christmas cactus. It requires the light transmission to be limited in order to get it to bloom. I had a grower. He was growing his poinsettia crop year after year after year, grew beautiful poinsettias. The town came in and said, hey, we're putting streetlights out. Great idea. No, it isn't. It threw his crop off completely because the light that was shining from those lights messed up his poinsettia timing. So he didn't have poinsettias at Christmas, and he lost his shirt. And next time they were in, actually, they have a cloth that they lift up, and it's black cloth, and it's covered up, and he learned. And that, to me, it was amazing. You know, you always hear this stuff. It's like, I don't believe it. Believe it. Believe it.
It happens.
You know, it can't be any light. I mean, temperature, 60 degrees is fine. And even like during the holiday season, like our poinsettia is like, we'll go at night temperatures as low as 55 degrees.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool.
And that they enjoy that, but they'll tolerate as much as 75. So, you know, don't be too concerned while you're taking care of your poinsettia, but while you're going through this process, the cooler you can keep it, the better, but you've got to watch the water. You can't let it dry out. If you have your air conditioning on during the summertime, and after bringing this in and you still have air conditioning on, it's going to dry out things quicker. It'll dry out faster inside your house than outside. So just saying. So continue to water and fertilize at the reduced rate. and you want to rotate the plant with the light. Like if you have a sunny window and it shades the backside of the plant, you know, like dark side of the moon, you want to turn your plant and rotate it so that it gets even sunlight all around, or else you'll have like a one-sided poinsettia.
Awesome.
Thanksgiving. You get a break. Basically, you don't have to put it in the closet anymore. You put the plant in a sunny spot and it gets at least 6 hours of direct light, reduce the water, stop the fertilizer, and just take care of it, maintain it, and then your leaves will be turning red and that it'll be looking in Christmas. Enjoy your new poinsettia.
All over again.
And wow. Just say, I did that.
Yeah.
I did that. Pretty awesome.
It is.
Pretty awesome.
Beautiful process.
All right. If you want a copy, call the hotline, 609-685-1880. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. It's time to deck the halls. Roping, garland, fresh-cut Christmas trees, all available at Bloomers Home and Garden Center. The greenhouse is a blaze of red poinsettias, other colors from the new whites and the new pinks that we have. Make sure you get your Christmas cactus. That's right, Christmas cactus, get them now. Soon they're going to be all gone. Make sure you come in. All ornaments are buy three, get the fourth free. It's a great time for even the specialty ornaments like Christopher Radko, Old World, and more. We'll see you in the garden at Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Make sure you go to bloomers.com to get our address and our store hours. See you in the garden.
Me and Julio.
Oh, I tell you what. Oh, what an exciting time, huh, Len?
Great show. Oh. Hey, we love our callers.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Listen, if at any time you've got questions, especially about holiday plants, we're like the poinsettia hotline, 609-685-1880. Leave your question and we'll give you back with the answer.
Yes, and you can always listen to us on your favorite podcast provider. So listen to us there. And also, when you go to your favorite garden center, tell them you listen to Bloomers in the Garden.
All right, we'll be here the same time next week. See you in the garden.
See you in the garden.